What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Programming note, only half of the show today. It's shrinkflation. We're doing half of the show. No, actually, at 1:30, we have the UNC Tar Heels basketball game getting underway. And so I'll go on to the bench and let the Tar Heels starters take over at 1:30. That being said, we always post our, each hour becomes its own podcast. So if you get the Pete Callender, show podcast on any of the podcasting platforms, you'll get that. But, I'll be uploading a second separate bonus segment, after the show is over. So this way, don't worry, you will still get all of the content. Okay. Now some of it won't be on the air here, but, I'll just be cussing a lot. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. But I have a separate episode that'll go up today as well. So I saw this story come across the CBS News wire before the show. And Apple, apparently, is getting sued by the Biden administration. Not sure why. I think it's because Joe Biden prefers bananas when he's eating his snacks on his walks. No, it's one of the most valuable and influential companies, according to CBS News, illegally engaging in anti-competitive behavior in an effort to build a, quote, moat around its smartphone monopoly and maximize its profits. You can't do that. Now I see the problem. Okay. So the Justice Department is making these allegations in what CBS News calls a blockbuster antitrust lawsuit. It was filed in federal court in New Jersey. The Justice Department accused the company of using app development rules, iPhone features and hardware, which people use every day if you have an iPhone, which, full disclosure, I do not. I have never felt the need to pay more money for a heavier phone that is less compatible with virtually all other operating systems. So I have opted not to do that, although I do recognize that people who have the iPhones and wait hours in line to get the latest iPhone, they look down on me. I do recognize that. I don't care, but I recognize that they do look down on me. Look, some of my best friends have iPhones. My wife has an iPhone, so I am familiar with the iPhone, with the iOS system. I don't prefer it. I just don't. My first phone was a Droid, and I have stayed with Droid ever since. And, you know, people don't realize this outside of America, though Droid is the biggest platform. It's the most popular, most widely used. And look, I understand if you are, if you got an Apple MacBook or whatever, if you're an Apple head, you like all the Apple stuff, it makes sense to be all tied in together with all the Apple products, right? It makes sense to me. Rush was a huge Apple aficionado. An Apple aficionado, I believe is what they're called. Anyway, Apple heads, right? The synergies that you get when you have all of the same stuff working together, that's totally fine. And look, I get also like the MacBook Pro or whatever. Those things are good if you're doing a lot of graphic design or video editing and that sort of thing. I did use Apple products briefly when I was like, I don't know, 7 and they first came out. My first computer was an Apple and I was writing the basic code, you know, which is why I'm prepared nowadays working in media. I've already learned to code. I mean, it's basic. And I don't remember anything, but am I allowed to say learn to code on the radio? I think I can say that on the radio still. Anyway, the company employed a series of, quote, this is according to the lawsuit, a series of shape-shifting rules and restrictions in its app store, in the guidelines that apps had to meet in order to be in the app store, And then they put a whole bunch of these rules and restrictions that would shapeshift in the developer agreements. And what the rules and restrictions and their shapeshiftiness allowed Apple to do was to extract higher fees, according to the government, thwart innovation, which if any entity or institution knows about thwarting innovation, it is the government here. So also, they say it offered a less secure or degraded user experience, and it throttled competitive alternatives. Right, specifically, the investigators say that Apple boxed out its smaller competitors by blocking the expansion of what are known as super apps. Super apps. Which I think I had one time at TGI Fridays. It just kept coming and coming and coming. Anyway, they allow for multifunctional use, disrupting messaging formats and capabilities between Apple and non-Apple devices. Okay, now I will say this. That's true. I have personal experience with this, okay? Because there are people, like, you probably got one like the family group chat, right? You got a bunch of family members. You probably have a couple of them. You got some group chats that are like you and all the adults in the family. Then you got another group chat that's got the kids in there when they've grown up and they get their smartphones and now they can text message. All right, fine. We got to set up another group chat. Let the kids in there. You always got to make sure that the stuff you're putting in the adult group chat's not going to be in the kid group chat, right? So I have noticed that when you try to send stuff or people send stuff into these group chats, I don't get them the same way my wife does. Because she has an Apple phone, I got a Droid phone, and you can see that somebody sends something and I get it either as like a separate message from the person or it doesn't load fast enough. And usually it's after some sort of an update comes down, they kind of break their apps and stuff. They also have different colors for the little boxes that your texts are written in, and apparently this is a problem for the government. They don't like the different colors, which is weird because I thought the government was moving us away from like color blindness and more towards a diverse experience. But yeah, I don't know. But there are definite problems with the functionality between the different platforms, right? We've all seen it. Also, they monopolize the use of tap-to-pay functions on iPhones to only the Apple Wallet. So basically what Apple does, right, and I know this is going to come as a shock, which is that they try to funnel everybody over to all of their products, and they build all and they buy up all of these different apps and related products, and they connect them to their system. Google got in trouble for doing the same thing, if I recall correctly. Discrepancies in sending messages between Apple and non-Apple products have long been a thorn in the side of users like me, as media quality, editing capabilities, and even the color of the messages themselves change depending on the devices being used. Well, that is the other thing. I'll get like, oh, hey, here's your niece or nephew in their recital, and they send the video, and it looks like it's underwater and it sounds even worse, right? So according to the prosecutors, this signals to users that rival smartphones are lower quality because the experience of messaging friends and family who do not own iPhones is worse, even though Apple, not the rival smartphone, is the cause of that degraded user experience. Hold the phone. No pun intended. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that Apple intentionally degrades my niece's dance recital video? That they did that on purpose? They did that because I have a Droid and they want me to switch over to Apple, which I've already made clear I'm not going to because I'm not going to spend more money for a heavier phone, you know? And then lose all my contacts and all that. Although nowadays you could probably get them all transferred, I think. But I'm sorry. I'm so into the Droid platform. They've got all of my information already. You know, why give it to another corporate entity? Anyway, their alleged anti-competitive practices did not stop there. They allegedly worked to stifle the use of non-Apple smartwatches by limiting how users interacted with them on the iPhone and used cloud streaming location services and web browsers on iPhones to snuff out smaller rivals. Okay, so we got that going on. What else? We have a monopoly on and some concerns over a monopoly on brain implants. Brain implant. The very first brain implant. Did you know that the first human has been implanted? Yeah, Neuralink. 29-year-old guy who was paralyzed from the shoulders down in a diving accident 8 years ago. He got the first Neuralink brain implant. And they did a live stream yesterday. And they showed how he's using it. It's amazing. But yes, there will be another episode. It's extra content. It's going to be as a podcast, so it won't be live on the radio because the Tar Heels will be on there. But you'll get like a 40 or 42 minute podcast over there. It'll be posted up after the show goes up too. Alrighty, so. Going over this, a couple of monopolies over the apples, and now we got brain implants, right? Neuralink. Not aware of anybody else that has been successful in the brain implant space. Neuralink introduced the first human subject to receive the company's brain implant, a 29-year-old man paralyzed in a diving accident about 8 years ago. They did a live stream. It was like 9 minutes long, and... they did it on Twitter, X Twitter, right? Elon Musk's platform, which, by the way, Neuralink is co-founded by Elon Musk, which he said he's interested in getting this Neuralink stuff perfected because he believes it is the only way that humans are going to be able to compete against AI. Which is kind of terrifying. That's kind of terrifying. It's a little terrifying. Okay, it's a little scary. All right, let's not exaggerate. But it is a little scary, right? And the first recipient of the brain implant, his name is Nolan Arbaugh. And he said since he has gotten the implant, he has now been able to play online chess. And you could see him do it. He's moving the cursor around on the screen. He's also playing the video game Civilization, which he loves. It's a good game. But he would get like sores if he was using like the stick, using like his mouth or whatever. Like you can't use these things for long periods of time because you get sores. And now it's inside the brain. And so he just thinks it and it goes. He describes learning how to use the brain-computer interface. He says, I would attempt to move my right hand or my left hand, and he would try to move it forward and back. And then from there, he says it just became more intuitive to start imagining the cursor moving. And once you start doing that, then it just moves. It's reading the brain waves. A Neuralink engineer was with him, and he's in the video, saying they're going to release more information in coming days. The company got the green light from the U.S. FDA last year to move ahead with the initial human trial, and then it began recruiting paralyzed participants in the fall to test the device. This is truly amazing, right? If you're able to give people, because this is just the first step, right? That if you're able to now control stuff with your brain, how far of a leap is it to say, fit them with exoskeleton suits, and now they can do stuff, right? It's pretty amazing. Still kind of terrifying with the AI stuff, but like that's really promising. That's like I want to look at the pros here as well. Glass is kind of half full. Aside from that half empty side, that's really terrifying. But other than that, I think it's okay. Got a message here from Chris, who says on the subject of interpreting brain waves. Think of one word, Google. How long before Google will be using Android to read every user's mind? Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know what to do about it. I really don't. I feel like I already lost the whole battle over putting the various listening devices in your homes. I don't want to say their names because if you say the names and they turn themselves on and that sort of thing in people's houses, so I try not to do that. But let's just say it rhymes with eerie, but starts with an S. And you know, these these manufacturers, these companies, they say, oh, we don't listen. The devices aren't listening to you. Which, okay, do you think I'm an idiot? How else does it know to turn on? It's got to be listening for me to say its name, right? So why would you tell me it's not listening? It has to be listening. Otherwise, what kind of product are you selling me? But I feel like I've kind of lost that argument. And look, it's just so darn efficient, you know? It's convenient. You know, you get the one sign on for every account you use. It's just, yeah, it's like they get you. They get you. Adrian says, Android is the name of the platform. Droid is a line of smartphones made by Motorola. Oh. Oh, I did not know that. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I've only had two smartphones. Yeah, when I learned the hard way when they said, oh, you're, what do they say? You've qualified for an upgrade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, learn what that meant. Of course, the original phone I got, I remember they would, the initial phones that we would get, they would charge us more for the phone calling than the texting. Remember that? You had to have all these crazy family plans and stuff in order to have the unlimited minutes to talk over the phone and everything else. And then they started shifting away and they were like, no, send text. It uses less bandwidth. You know, they wanted everybody to text. And then they like switched over. Now we'll give you all of the talk for free, all these free minutes and stuff. And they were giving away phones because they were selling the plans. And now you got to pay for the phones too. It's a lot of times. I mean, they do run promotions and all that. But yeah, I think I've only ever purchased two phones because I keep them until they break them. Not I break them. The companies break them. Don't tell me they don't break them. You cannot convince me. You will not convince me that they do not stuff your phones with so much stuff, update after update after update, that they eventually break your phone. So then you got to go get another one because your current phone doesn't work. I've had it happen enough times with enough phones between me and my wife. I know the game. Much like Pat McCrory. So, this from the Dallas Morning News. Back and forth court rulings over Texas' new immigration law left local and state law enforcement agencies struggling to understand their mandate as the legal ground repeatedly shifted. All right, so if you've been confused by what's been going on with the Texas law on whether or not they can, you know, try to kick people out of their state or apprehend illegal immigrants or whatever, rest assured you're not the only one. Okay, because Monday afternoon, the U.S. Supreme Court extended an order that blocked a Texas bill, Senate Bill 4, and that bill sought to give the state a role in arresting and deporting migrants or illegal immigrants or unauthorized immigrants or illegal aliens. Only, by the way, I did hear, did you hear this yesterday? Brett Winterbull started his show talking about an appearance he did with like some Emerson College students and alum or whatever, and they're talking about, I think they were talking about the immigration debate or something, and Brett used the term illegal immigrants, and one of the students said that because he used that term, everything else he said is disqualifying, which, like, that's a very convenient escape hatch to be able to pull, right, and jump through. When you've been, because if I know Brett, that kid probably took us handed to him on the merits of the argument. And so he just then doesn't want to have to address the merits of the argument. So just say, you used a term, I don't like it. So everything you've said is now disqualified, which is absurd. It's absolutely absurd, right? You lose. You lose the debate, kid. That's it. It's over. And you can virtue signal all you want, but you still lost. You're a loser. Okay. That's what I would have said. I think Brett is nicer than that. I don't think he would have done that. But if he did, he didn't say it in his story yesterday. But the Supreme Court extends the order blocking Senate Bill 4 only to reverse course Tuesday morning and give Texas permission to enforce the law, which had been struck down as unconstitutional by a federal judge back in February. Okay? So that's the U.S. Supreme Court did that. That changed again at like 10 o'clock at night, Tuesday, when the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals then blocked the bill again. The appeals court followed by hearing oral arguments yesterday about whether Texas should be allowed to enforce the law while its judges determine whether it's constitutional or not. The legal whiplash had some law enforcement agencies scrambling to receive guidance from the state or the Texas Department of Public Safety, the agency that would be in charge of handling a bulk of the arrests under Senate Bill 4. In Maverick County, home to Eagle Pass, and as I understand it, Tom Cruise, the pilot, that has been the epicenter of Governor Greg Abbott's border security crackdown, Eagle Pass. The sheriff there, Tom Schmerber, he says, that's his name, Schmerber, he says that his deputies did not enforce the law for the 9 hours that it was in effect. So just in case you were wondering, they had 9 hours to try to do this law, and they were like, we didn't do it. So once again, we're fighting over who has the monopoly here on immigration enforcement. The federal government says it has the sole authority to enforce immigration law, and that means to not enforce it too. And woe unto you who attempts to enforce the laws that we refuse to enforce. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville, and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? The law in Texas, as it was passed but is now being blocked by the courts, allows police in counties that border Mexico to make arrests if they see someone crossing illegally. It could also be enforced elsewhere in Texas if someone is arrested on suspicion of another violation and a fingerprint taken during jail booking links them to a suspected reentry violation. Okay? So it's very similar to the old 287G program that was written into the law decades ago, and nobody really knew it was there. And then Mecklenburg County Sheriff Jim Pendergraf, a Democrat, was at some conference someplace, as I recall, he retold the story back in like the early 2000s. And he said he hears about this 287G program, which is named based on the statute. And so he talks to this sheriff who had mentioned it at this conference, and Sheriff Pendergraf then starts implementing it in Mecklenburg County, and then the Bush administration hires him. He goes into retirement, and he goes around the country implementing the 287G program around the nation. And it basically deputizes, or federalizes, I should say, some deputies in the sense that they can now get access to these federal databases, and they can screen people coming into the jail. They're not going out and arresting people on suspicion of being in the country illegally. It's somebody who is already brought to the jail for some other reason. And then you run them through the databases, and then you find out, oh, they're not supposed to be here. So it's kind of a similar deal. Now, the White House press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre, she called the law, quote, harmful. And to be clear, she wants to be very clear, for clarity's sake, that it's not just harmful, but also clearly, to be clear, as she stated prior, it's also, she believes, clearly unconstitutional, to be clear. And she said it would burden law enforcement while creating confusion. And she called on congressional Republicans, you know what's coming next, to settle the issue with a federal border security bill. Right. Which is why which is why the Biden administration has been fighting Texas so vehemently to prevent them from enforcing any kind of border control laws, right? Think about that. They want us to believe that they are truly the party that wants to shut down and control the border, and that's why they're suing Texas for trying to control their border. It really is amazing. Oh, by the way, Mexico, they came out and said, they're not going to accept any migrants that are deported by Texas unless they're Mexicans. The foreign ministry issued a statement condemning Texas Senate Bill 4, and they said that they are not going to allow anybody who's not a Mexican national to be deported back into their country. So they're going to help people who are not from Mexico go through their country and go into America, but not the other way around. Sorry. And they say they're going to protect their right to protect the rights of its nationals in the U.S. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code word Pete and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Alrighty, so on the immigration front, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson has sent a letter to Joe Biden. And actually to a couple others. Hang on a second. I have a copy of the letter. He didn't send it to me, nor did he CC me, but I have a copy of it. So this is actually signed by Mark Robinson, as well as the North Carolina Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, the North Carolina Senate President Pro Tem, Phil Berger, as well as the Gates County Sheriff, Ray Campbell. And it is addressed to President Joseph R. Biden Jr., and then CC'd our the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, head of the FBI Christopher Wray, as well as officials with ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. And so what prompted the letter was the arrest of a suspect after an hours-long standoff in a place that has a name that is weird. I do not know how to pronounce this. E-U-R-E, North Carolina. Your North Carolina. I mean, there's some real branding opportunities right there. Here in your North Carolina. E-U-R-E. Anyway, Gates County Sheriff's Office reported receiving notice from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement that the suspect may be on the U.S. government's terrorist watch list. So, not just an illegal immigrant, but on the terrorist watch list. That's a twofer right there. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson said, quote, "I hope that the Biden administration will act urgently to be more forthcoming regarding this potential terrorism suspect." The suspect's name is Awet Hagos. Awet Hagos, which I think is far worse than being a dry Hagos. Anyway, he is charged with 3 counts of assault on a government official, 3 counts of resisting a public officer, as well as a charge of carrying a concealed weapon, which is weird because I thought people on the terrorist watch list and illegal immigrants, I didn't think that they were, you know, that they were allowed to get. Well, probably just drop that gun charge. I mean, really, who's prosecuting those nowadays? After communicating with Gates County Sheriff Ray Campbell, and according to additional news reports, the Lieutenant Governor's office learned that the Sheriff's office received notice from ICE that Awet Hagos may be on the terrorist watch list. And so they are asking for more information. So I'm looking now at the, that was from the official press release from Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson's office. And in the letter, he says, our understanding is that this violent individual is originally from an area near Yemen, a known hotbed of anti-American terrorist activity. Hagos entered the United States after residing in Haiti. After the Lieutenant Governor Robinson communicated with Gates County Sheriff Ray Campbell, and according to additional news reports, it came out that ICE has placed a detainer on Hagos as he is reportedly on the terrorist watch list. He says clearly this is of grave concern and it raises a number of questions which need to be addressed urgently. He then lists them, like, for example, is he on the watch list? What are his suspected ties to terrorist groups? What are his activities? Is he acting alone? Does he have any known associates or friends or family that are also here? Do we know how he came into the country? Do we know where else he may have traveled to or through in the state of North Carolina? When he applied for and was denied American citizenship, why was he not detained at that time? When he applied for and was denied American citizenship, how and who locally was alerted to his whereabouts? And finally, is the federal government aware of any other potential terrorist suspects in North Carolina, whether they have ties to Hagos or not? He says the people of North Carolina deserve answers to these questions. In North Carolina, over the last few years, we have had multiple attacks on our infrastructure, including a cyber attack on a natural gas pipeline. And just over a year ago, we had multiple substations that were sabotaged. Hagos was living just an hour from multiple military bases in both North Carolina and in Virginia. If this violent individual has terrorist ties, it is imperative that we know immediately what these are, whether he has any associates here with him, and if there is any imminent danger to the citizens of our state. So we'll see if Joe Biden responds to any of that. I'm not banking on it. Meanwhile, Robinson is being targeted by some camera-hungry politicians up in Connecticut, having done such a poor job of managing their own business climate. They are seeking to use Mark Robinson as a way to woo businesses out of the Tar Heel State and go up to the Nutmeg State. Okay. Like, you're really worried that Mark Robinson is the nominee because he said stuff and posted stuff on Facebook and, ooh, he's icky populist. He said some things about abortion we don't like and, you know, social conservative we don't like. He's too preachy. Sounds like a Baptist preacher. We don't like him and all of this. Okay. So what, you're going to pick up your whole business and move it from the number one ranked state for business multiple years in a row? You're going to take your business from North Carolina and send it to Connecticut because Mark Robinson won the Republican nomination. Hasn't even won the election yet, right? He's not the governor yet. Meanwhile, the legislature is controlled supermajority by Republicans. So if Robinson winning the nomination makes you that worried you're going to move your business, why wouldn't the General Assembly make you even more worried? Because they've got super majorities, right? So here's the story from WRAL. Some Connecticut lawmakers are hoping to lure businesses away from North Carolina by highlighting controversial rhetoric of a high-profile North Carolina politician. Democrat Senate leaders in the Nutmeg State wrote to officials in Connecticut's Department of Economic and Community Development, urging them to, quote, explore opportunities to attract businesses from the state of North Carolina to relocate to Connecticut. They cited North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson's gubernatorial nomination, his history of inflammatory comments about LGBTQ people and women, and his desire to restrict abortion access as the impetus for the effort. Okay, so the Senate President pro tempore in Connecticut is a fella by the name of Looney. I'm not kidding. Like, that's his name. His name is Martin Looney. Marty Looney. He says, we're constantly... No, he says, we're constantly looking for chances to diversify and strengthen our state's economy, and we believe there's a unique opportunity to reach out to businesses in North Carolina, which has, by the way, been ranked the best in the nation for business for two straight years. Yeah. Okay. I mean, good luck with that. Robinson's campaign responded, quote, who cares what these Northeastern liberals have to say? Since they took control of Connecticut, Democrats raised taxes and spending, creating a parade of jobs and businesses packing up and leaving their state. They should stop with silly PR stunts like this and take a page from North Carolina conservatives' book. Cut taxes on families and businesses, reduce burdens and regulations, and stop wasteful government spending. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't think, and as much as the left and the media, but I repeat myself, they want to make this about social issues, and they're gonna, and you know, here's the obligatory portion of the story about HB2, right? Which, by the way, I still don't believe that it had these catastrophic impacts that the left and the media, but I repeat myself, that they predicted or that they believe to have occurred. I don't believe it. I don't. We saw economic growth during that time. And yes, we lost the NBA All-Star game, right? Some NCAA stuff moved, but they all came back. Well, that's because we got rid of it. I'm not so sure, because like now you're looking at all these different trans bills and protect women's sports bills, and it's all the same. And like we were just ahead of the curve. So even so, I don't believe that with all of the tax reforms and business regulatory reforms that the Republicans have enacted over the last, 13 years, they're not offset by single issues like this. They're not. And you know what? If they are, if that's more important to your business, right, is to placate some employees and their social justice warrior, virtue signaling Facebook comments, then please don't come. Seriously, please, you should relocate. You should go someplace. You should go to a different state that's going to tax you out the wazoo. And then you'll all be on the same page on the social justice stuff. I'm fine with that. We're doing okay. In fact, it might actually lower some of the housing prices. A couple of messages. First up, Chris says, Pete, I just did a Google Maps search for EURE, North Carolina. And that is by far the smallest municipality I have ever seen. Aha, Chris, it is not even a municipality. It is an unincorporated area. It apparently lost its incorporation status many years ago. So it is, it's got 1,500 people or so, and there's like 10,000 or so in Gates County. And so it's not even a municipality, as I understand it. It's an unincorporated community in Midwestern Gates County. It has an elevation of 23 feet, according to the interweb. Dear Pete, is a detainer anything like a votainer? Sincerely, Houthi Nation. It's a very good question. Yes, they are similar in that neither one is utilized at all, really. They are the same. Thank you. Also, big fan of the Blowfish. Brett says, I'm wondering what other laws are not enforced concerning illegal aliens. For instance, I have a friend who is an illegal alien. I'm thinking that he should drive my car when we're driving, just, you know, to avoid the tickets, to get any accident or any other potential legal entanglements, right? It makes sense. Dave says, I am sick and tired of politicians, Democrat or Republican, saying we need more laws, whether it's the border, guns, or anything else, just enforce the laws that are already on the books. And on the Neuralink story, This is from Stan, who says the best way to use this technology is to implant it into the brain of everyone involved in running bureaucratic or regulatory agencies. Programming then would be based on sort of a learn-as-you-go model as opposed to a wokester programming. That just couldn't help but lead us to a better place. Yeah, well, he who controls the programming gets to, you know, control the world. Speaking of the woke folks, there's a new study out of Finland about creating a psychological assessment to identify people with woke beliefs. The study found that those who hold such beliefs are actually more likely to report being anxious or depressed. So they, this led to the creation of an assessment test called the Critical Social Justice Attitude Scale. Okay? And it has, it has seven questions. Ready? One. If white people have, on average, a higher level of income than black people, it is because of racism. And if you say yes, right, if you say yes to these things, then that makes you, you're on the scale. Okay. Number two, university reading lists should include fewer white or European authors. Microaggressions should be challenged often and actively. Trans women who compete with women in sports are not helping women's rights. That's a reverse score, by the way. We don't need to talk more about the color of people's skin. A white person cannot understand how a black person feels equally well as another black person can. And finally, another reverse score of a member of a privileged group can adopt features or cultural elements of a less privileged group. John Sexton at hotair.com says, having created this assessment, Askari Latinen, who is the researcher, was then able to gather some data, and she found that wokeness was not terribly popular in Finland, though it's more popular with women than men. 3 out of 5 women view woke ideas positively. Only 1 out of 7 men do. But the most significant finding was the connection to anxiety and depression. She found a correlation between higher agreement with critical social justice attitudes and increased reports of anxiety and depression. These associations were more strongly correlated with participants' political orientation than with critical social justice attitudes per se. Specifically, on the political left, it's more of a predictor of lower mental well-being than high critical social justice scores alone, right? Which suggests that the link between social justice attitudes and mental health is complex and may be mediated by a broader political and ideological belief. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.